Good morning. This is Abby with your Daily Berlin Briefing for Tuesday, February 19th, 2019. On this day in 1959, the United Kingdom granted Cyprus independence, which was then formally proclaimed on August 16th, 1960. The Greens want to take action against racially motivated controls by the Berlin police. In a draft resolution, they called upon the Senate to develop a plan of action to promote a, quote, culture of appreciation of diversity within the authority and to prevent racial profiling. The draft was exclusively made available to the Berliner Zeitung and will now be coordinated with the coalition partners SPD and the left. Racial profiling or ethnic profiling refers to the method of using the appearance of a person, for example, skin color or ethnic origin, without further evidence as a reason for police checks and investigations. The Greens propose the inclusion of an explicit ban on racial profiling in the new police law and the creation of a complaints office, which is believed to be based with an independent police officer who does not yet exist. This personnel is planned in the new police law, about which SPD, Left, and Greens have been arguing fiercely for months. According to the Green Party, anti-discrimination modules in police training are to be expanded and an independent study commissioned to investigate racial profiling in crime-prone places, or KBO. Here, the police may also check passersby without concrete suspicion. There are 7 KBO in Berlin, including Alex, Görlitzer Park, and Kottbusser Tor. Sebastian Walter, Speaker of the Greens for Anti-Discrimination, cannot say how large the problem of racial profiling with the Berlin police is, as it cannot be quantified at present because of a lack of valid research. The planned study and the complaints office are intended to change this. Walter remarked that, quote, "I assume that discrimination occurs everywhere in society. The police must face this problem and react professionally." The police disagree and claim not to use racial profiling, remarking that in the search for perpetrators, quickly recognizable characteristics such as size, clothing, gender, or skin color are central to the investigations, which, according to the police spokesman Thilo Kablitz, quote, is not the same as racial profiling. Per the police, even in the case of unannounced checks at locations with a high crime rate, as a rule, other indications are decisive for a check. For example, nervous behavior or a time spent at locations known to the police at abnormal hours. Even in crime-prone places, according to police, the aim is to, quote, keep our interventions as low as possible, so that we usually only control those for which we can identify corresponding evidence. This position does not surprise Tahir Della from the Initiative Schwarze Menschen in Deutschland, or ISD. It was not to be expected that the police would actively tackle the problem. However, the ISD alone receives several complaints per month concerning racial profiling. Those affected are often afraid to report to the police themselves. Della expressly welcomes the Green Initiative and added, quote, "We need independent complaint boards. Something must finally happen." A group of companies led by Berlin firm Aspire has purchased 30 houses in socially disadvantaged areas and is selling the apartments to investors abroad, supposedly playing both tenants and investors. A joint research by RBB and Berliner Zeitung reveals what this means for the tenants. Aspire operates from Friedrichstrasse as part of a group of companies offering Berlin real estate internationally. On its websites, it advertises the attractiveness of the Berlin housing market with beautifully photographed buildings. Even though the internet presence has an international touch, the offers are preferably aimed at Israeli interested parties. potential buyers are offered an all-around carefree package. They sign a declaration of intent in an office in Israel and grant powers of attorney to lawyers and notaries in Berlin. After that, they hardly have to do anything. In Berlin, for example, the companies associated with Aspire take care of the financing, the purchase contract, and the transfer of ownership. And even after the apartments have been sold, companies in the group continue to earn money. Administration, renovation, and increasingly also the rental of furnished apartments is brokered. In most cases, the apartments on offer are rented, and the tenants actually have a statutory right of first refusal in the event of a conversion into condominiums. But it's not that easy to get it through. A tenant who doesn't want to mention her name said that, quote, "In the end, it failed because I was denied all the information needed to make such a decision." According to the law, a tenant can exercise the right of first refusal by entering into the already negotiated contract of sale within 2 months. Tenant and prospective buyer must be presented with the same contract conditions. But what the Berlin tenants that the journalist spoke to did not know was that in Israel, in addition to the sales contract, further agreements were concluded. RBB and Berliner Zeitung got insight into several of these agreements, which promise the respective Israeli buyer a kind of income guarantee of up to 5% of the price or the down payment over 3 years annually, regardless of whether the apartment to be purchased is rented or not. These extra agreements were not offered to the tenants. And according to Ulrich Ropertz of the German Tenants Association, this is illegal. A tenant has the right to enter into the sales contract on exactly the same terms as the seller and the buyer. Supplementary agreements such as these are not permitted, or they'd have to be in the contract. Due to the additional agreement, the Israeli buyer would get the apartment cheaper. RBB and Berliner Zeitung have made contact with more than 20 Israeli buyers, teachers, doctors, and managers who wanted to invest their money. All, without exception, confirmed the practice with the, quote, agreements. An architect explained that he didn't want to miss the real estate boom in Berlin. By chance, he came across Aspire and signed a letter of intent and paid half. He received the 5% return. Lawyer Philippe Koch has repeatedly been involved with Aspire in the recent years. He says that the company network is in a legal gray area and only works because it basically links two legal systems. The German tenants know nothing about the side agreement in Israel if they attempt to buy their own apartment. And the mostly Israeli buyers do not know much about German tenancy law and can quickly experience a nasty surprise. A Berlin tenant reports that the new owners of her apartment recently wanted to visit the property and they were disappointed. According to the tenant, the buyers assumed they could use this place for themselves and did not know that the current tenant is under protection for the next 9 years. The group of companies around Aspire continues to earn money after the apartments have been sold. One company offers the administration, another the renovation, and another the letting of empty apartments as guest apartments to Berlin visitors, as most owners are far away and can't take care of it themselves. Up to 30 euros rent per square meter are charged for the apartments. Many of the Aspire houses, therefore, have key boxes with combination locks on the outside. In one, the remaining residents report that more than a dozen apartments have now been converted. According to Ulrich Ropertz of the German Tenants Association, the negative thing about the housing market is that apartments become a kind of yield object, and tenants are definitely being played with. In the future, Berliners will be able to use buses, trains, rental vehicles, and other sharing services centrally via one app. Yelby is the name of the booking platform presented by the BVLG, this past Monday. In addition to the Berlin-Brandenburg Transport Association and Deutsche Bahn, around 15 providers of bicycle, car and scooter sharing, and taxi operators have joined the BVALGI-initiated Alliance for Tomorrow's Mobility to offer their transport services centrally via Yelby. The app will combine route planning, reservation, and payment for all offered mobility services, and should be able to offer users the services on a combined route. Partners include, for example, the electric scooter startup Emmy, the car sharing services Miles and Flinkster of Deutsche Bahn, and the rental bike providers Next Bike and Donkey Republic. The app will also offer the Bellkönig and Clever Shuttle group ride services. A spokesperson said that with Yelby, one wants to create the, quote, changeover to common traffic away from diesel and gasoline to electric. The app implements the startup Trophy. The previous BVALGI app with timetable information and other functions, however, can be used as usual by passengers. In addition to the digital platform, new hubs are to be created for the various offers. The municipal housing company Gewölbag intends to make spaces available for this purpose. A first meeting point is currently being built on Gitchnerstrasse in Kreuzberg. A BVALGI spokeswoman said that negotiations were underway with all 12 districts for further collection points. The offer is scheduled to start in summer of 2019, and the costs for the project will be shared by the partners. Trophy is responsible for the software and the BVALGI for marketing. For the time being, however, the transport company did not want to provide any precise figures. Yelby, which derives its name from the bright yellow corporate color of BVALGI, is to run in a pilot phase until the end of 2021. To stay updated on local Berlin news every weekday, subscribe to our podcast by visiting berlinbriefing.de, hear us on Spotify and bearradio.org, follow us on social media, or enable our Alexa skill. Berlin Briefing will be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.